Morning, members. We'll call the Senate Tax Committee to order for January 13th. I'm only 3 days behind. That's not too bad. January 13th, 2015. First of all, I would like to welcome Senator Grzelka to the Tax Committee. Senator Grzelka served on the Reform Division last year, but has joined the full committee. So welcome, Senator Grzelka. We're glad to see you here.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And one other bit of housekeeping. Donovan tells me that if you would like to save documents from the committee meeting, just slide them into your folder, and the staff will not sort through the brown folders at your place. This morning, members, we have two bills in front of the committee. The first one is our federal conformity bill, a bill that we have done for a number of years now as the Congress does its end of year federal tax bill. The state needs to conform with that bill so that Minnesota taxpayers have an easier time and do not have to add back income on their tax returns. And I think it's iPads or such on the table.
No.
No?
Not me.
No.
Oh, it couldn't be that. How could it be?
Thank you. And we're going to hear Senate File 50 first. I don't even know if I have a copy. And I am the author of that bill, but I'm going to stay at the table here for the bill presentation. We're going to have staff walk us through the details of the bill. And I don't know if Commissioner Bowerly is on a time frame or not, but I think since she is here, perhaps, Commissioner, we could start with you. Commissioner Designee Bowerly, welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. For the first time that I'm appearing, which I'm sure we will have a chance to work together on many issues, but federal conformity is very important to Minnesota taxpayers, and so we are thrilled that you are hearing the bill early, and we have a plan to achieve this tax law change very quickly.
Commissioner? If protocol, could you state your name for the tape so we have your voice?
Sure. My apologies.
With a name. Thank you.
Cynthia Bowerly, Bauerly, Commissioner of the Department of Revenue.
Thank you.
I have had a chance to meet with a number of you, and I look forward to meeting with many more of you to hear about your interest in tax policy and any ways that the department may be of service to you as we move forward into this legislative session. As I mentioned, the department is very eager to move forward with federal conformity. There are implications for taxpayers across Minnesota of many different tax types. There's important provisions for individual taxpayers, including education deductions. Teachers who pay for supplies out of their own pocket can deduct some of those expenses. And for our business community, in terms of having depreciation schedules that match the federal system. So we look forward to working with you. If you have any questions, we are happy to answer them, but really want to express our gratitude for hearing this bill so early and moving it quickly.
Thank you, Commissioner. And members, we are going to try to get this bill to the floor today, and we will await a House file that they had hearings on or are having hearings on today coming over from the House dealing with federal conformity. So questions of the Commissioner members? Seeing none, thank you very much,
Mr.
Chairman. And so, members, this bill basically has three parts. The normal conformity provisions that we have dealt with for a number of years in the Tax Committee, dealing with some of the issues that Commissioner Bowerly talked about, education, some of the subchapter S conformity. There's a conservation provision in there. There are two provisions that are new, and Senator Rest is stuck in traffic. So, Ms. Pollack, could you walk us through the two, or Ms. McQuaid?
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just orient you to the spreadsheet quick, if everyone has that in front of them.
There's three biennia that we're looking at here. At the top, fiscal year 15 is the biennium, fiscal year 14 and 15. 14 is closed, so 15 is there on its own. Fiscal year 16 and 17, and then fiscal year 18 and 19. I've listed the totals for the top at the top for the three bills that Congress has passed. Those are the Achieving the Better Life Experience Act, the IRA rollovers for payments from airlines, and then the Tax Increase Prevention Act of 2014. I think the two provisions are the energy provisions, Mr. Chair, that you were talking about. The new ones are down on the second page. The very last two, and these are two provisions that we have not seen in the past in our typical conformity bills, and they were passed for 1 year. They are the special depreciation allowance for second-generation biofuel plant property that is a loss to the individual, a negligible loss to the individual income tax in each of the biennium. The second-generation biofuel plants are those that produce what Minnesota has defined as advanced biofuels in our environment statutes. And then the energy efficient commercial building deduction is just a another deduction for specific certified, environmentally certified buildings. And that is a loss against both the individual income tax and the corporate income corporate franchise tax. I'll also note the one other provision that was passed in the Tax Increase Prevention Act that is not listed here is the transit parity provision, because we passed that in last year's bill as a standalone provision in Minnesota law. So that is not, there's no need to conform to that at the federal level because we have a standalone provision. That was a negligible revenue loss when we enacted it last year.
And Ms. McQuay, was that last, I was visiting with Senator Rest, was that the issue with regard to the airline pilots that have not been able to update their paperwork, and we have a provision in there for them that you were referring to?
Mr. Chair and members, the transit parity that we passed last year as a standalone provision was allowing the same deduction for transit as we do for parking. We do on line 10 of the spreadsheet have the an additional extension of the IRA rollovers. This was an allowable provision in, I believe, 2012 that allowed pilots of bankrupt airlines to roll over their IRAs, and we extended the deadline by which you could amend your returns to deduct that that rollover.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. McQuay, and that will be a relatively small number of individuals, but it's important to them, and hopefully this will be the last year we deal with that. There is also a provision here of interest to Senator Rest, the ABLE provision. Senator Rest, did you want to talk to us briefly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The federal government in December took up a proposal that would allow essentially parents of children who were diagnosed with long-term disabilities or illnesses before they were 26 years old to contribute to their care through what looks like a 529 setup. That is, they can contribute after-tax dollars, and then the dollars that are accumulated in that program may be used to support those children in their care, and it would be considered an asset that would not jeopardize their qualifying for medical assistance. And the program is ABLE, A-B-L-E, Achieving Better Life Experiences. And it was a program that was embraced with wide bipartisan support passed in the House with on a voice vote and was included in the federal then tax extenders bill and, as you know, signed by the president. Part of the provisions of that bill were, or that provision, part of the provisions relative to ABLE was the requirement that in order to participate, states had to acknowledge the program and pass authorizing legislation. And that is now going forward in a bill authored by Senator Hoffman, myself, Senators Rosen, Brown, and somebody else. Well, anyway, five of us. And it's now in the Health and Human Services Committee. It does have a fiscal impact, small fiscal impact, so that's why it's in this bill. And there needs to be some other wrinkles done that Senator Lori, I believe, is undertaking to accomplish so that Minnesota parents can participate in the program. And I'm hoping that it will be as warmly embraced by the Minnesota legislature as it was by the federal Congress, and it's already been passed, that is authorized in a couple of other states since the feds acted. So it's really, it's heartwarming sometimes to think that the federal government can do something for the good of their citizens and families that is enthusiastically received by members of both parties in Congress. And so I'm happy that we're going to be part of it.
Well, thank you for explaining
that. That's
my
cheerleading speech for today.
Yes, no, and I'm hesitant to express too much support for it, but it is very interesting in the effort for families to help people with disabilities have independent livelihoods as they grow older. It's a very interesting proposal, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to take a little more look at it. Anything else, members? Ms. McQuay.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just direct your attention to the spreadsheet where the achieving a better life experience is listed. And Senator Resta alluded to the fact that there is a small revenue loss, but I'll just note that this revenue loss is subject to that enabling legislation that is going through HHS that will actually set up the account. But we are going to track the revenue loss here because it is the tax provision. If there is a fiscal cost associated with the bill itself, that will follow the bill, but the revenue loss will stay with the tax committee. And then the totals for the federal conformity itself is the a loss of $19.9 million in fiscal year 15, a revenue gain of $20.9 million in fiscal year 16 and 17, and then a loss, again, of $32.5 million in 18-19.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazalka.
Can you explain why there's a revenue loss? And the reason why I'm trying to think through, this is it's only if they give that gift up to $14,000 and there's no taxable event there. It's only on the interest gained in that account after. But I'm not sure that people didn't do it anyway and they just took the money. I'm just wondering how we came to deciding there was a revenue issue there.
I'm going to let Ms. McQuay answer accurately, but my speculation is that without this provision, those people would have to spend down in order to qualify for an MA payment. Ms. McQuay?
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe that the distributions themselves are tax exempt, and so the revenue estimate assumes that they'll be taking distributions, and those aren't then taxed. On the grow.
Mr. Chair, I'll think about it some more, because I'm just thinking, you know, if you gift up to $14,000, there's no taxable event there, you know, and I'm just trying to think through how we're coming to those numbers, but you may be right on that.
Well, and it might be that the amount of money that you would put into the ABLE plan, which is like a 529, if you weren't putting it into that, there would be taxes due on it, but because you are, there are none. So that would be the loss. Ms. McQuay, does that sound reasonable?
Mr. Chair, and
we should get the information, Senator Gazelka, and we'll get that to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else, members? Seeing nothing, Senator Rest moves Senate File 50 be recommended to pass and referred to the Senate floor.
It's my motion.
Seeing no more. Oh, anybody in the audience wish to testify in favor of Senate File? Well, in opposition to? In opposition to? Welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hesitated to get up. You don't want to get in the way of a train leaving the station that you want to see leave the station. But good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Paul Egger, Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Association of Realtors. We're a business trade association that represents the approximately 17,500 realtors throughout Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some brief testimony in support of Senate File 50 this morning. Mr. Chair, we support your efforts to achieve federal tax conformity. And specifically, I just want to highlight a couple of items in the bill. The mortgage debt cancellation relief provision, and also the extension of the itemized deduction for mortgage insurance premiums. Mr. Chair, the mortgage debt cancellation relief provision provides homeowners who have had some portion of their mortgage debt forgiven by a lender through a short sale, foreclosure, or a principal reduction, relief from having that forgiven debt considered income for taxation purposes. This provision provides relief to homeowners who have experienced a serious economic loss. Hopefully this provision will be made permanent in the future at the federal level and then ultimately at the state level. Instead of having this process where we're back here year after year having to react and pass legislation that's retroactive in nature. So it's our hope that at some point that will become a permanent feature of the tax code. And just finally, Mr. Chair, you know, we appreciate the fact that over the years, federal tax conformity has been a strong bipartisan issue at the legislature in both the Senate and the House. In addition to the great work you're doing in this bill today, we support and encourage your continuing efforts to address other conformity issues, such as matching the federal limit on itemized deductions in order to simplify Minnesota's tax code and pass along tax relief passed at the federal level to Minnesota taxpayers for state tax purposes. And thanks again, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Eggers. And with regard to that mortgage deduction, I think Ms. McQuay reminded us earlier that when we ended session last year, the projected cost for that was $14.5 million, and now the cost is $9 million, so there are less foreclosures, which is good news.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's a very good point. We're seeing fewer distressed sales in the market, which is a good thing. Unfortunately, there's still a number of distressed sales, so this provision is still very much needed. And I think one of the things that we believe, and that's why we hope this is a permanent feature of the tax code at some point, is regardless of whether it's a good market or a bad market, those people that find themselves in the unfortunate circumstances of needing to rely on a provision like this really could use that tax relief in their individual situations.
Thank you. Questions, members? Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Todd Koch. I'm a tax partner at the CPA firm of John A. Knutson & Company and a member of the Minnesota Society of Certified Public Accountants. This is a great place to start. I'm really glad that you're addressing it so early at this time and we can move things forward. As you know, it's well in the news that January 20th is the beginning of individual filing season. But really, filing season has already begun. It began yesterday. Business returns can already be filed. And many of these provisions affect not only people, but businesses. And it's great if they know what the rules are so they can help comply with what we're going to go forward. Because, as you know, our tax system, not do a lot due to many changes at the federal level, is getting more and more complex. And whatever we could do to help reduce that cost of complexity is really a good thing, because an increased complexity, frankly, is the same as a tax increase. Because, believe it or not, I don't do extra work for no extra fees. If it costs me more to get a return done, I charge my clients more. You can help reduce the cost to your constituents by complying with these rules, and I really appreciate that. You also help reduce the cost to the state of Minnesota, because if we would adopt conformity later in the session, kind of like what happened last year, well, then the state has to reprogram computers, they have to recalculate returns, and it's great that you did that for the taxpayers, but that doesn't come out without a cost to the state of Minnesota. And frankly, it makes my job a little easier. I don't have many hairs left. I would really like to keep a few of them on my head. So what we could do to go forward, and many of the, as was previously discussed, many of these provisions in and of themselves don't look really bad or really complex, but there are a lot of complexity issues that are derived from these bills. Be it if your home is foreclosed and you had no money to begin with, to have the state tax you more when you have no money to begin with is difficult to come up with those dollars. Be it a person who is taking the higher education deduction now changes their adjusted gross income, so now they have to recalculate all their itemized deductions for state income tax purposes. It's an unintended extra cost of that complexity. In with the bill, you will notice that there is we're not conforming to the bonus depreciation rules nor the increased 179 rules. But for one piece of property, I can end up with two different depreciation schedules, two modifications, one of which, if I take a bonus depreciation on a leasehold improvement, myself as an example, we build out a spot for a tenant. That is eligible for bonus depreciation. The bonus portion, which is half, is spread out over, in essence, 6 years. The remaining part, the remaining half, now I have to calculate the difference between 15 and 39 years. Do I have to keep track of a difference for an almost four decades? I'm sure that's not, it's one of those hidden complexity issues that are buried within the returns. So we appreciate that you're addressing it now, so we know what we could do so we can move the filing season much smoother than it would otherwise be. And to echo other people that, you know, this is a portion of conformity. We're glad you're addressing it now. We'd also be encouraged of any additional conformity issues that you could move forward with, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Reiner.
Mr. Chair, not a question, but just a follow-up comment. And I think, Mr. Chair, you probably echo this, that, you know, anyone who served on the committee for any length of time fully appreciates the point you're making. You know, early conformity adoption is the best for you. It's the best for taxpayers. But there are sometimes other factors we need to consider, whether Minnesota wants to conform from a policy standpoint. And then, you know, I think last session we had some other factors we had to weigh in. So just to support your comments, but also to highlight that sometimes we have other things we have to take into consideration.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could, one of the things, it'd almost be better if you're not going to conform early to almost conform after filing season. To conform during the heat of the season when they were reconfiguring all of the computers and we had to file on April 8th, believe it or not, 90% of the returns are filed in our office for individuals are filed the last 3 weeks of the season. At the additional strain that was put on that, so I'd almost would rather it have done in late April than mid-March. Just as a,
that's good.
As an aside.
Thank you. The only question I had, Mr. Rock, was regarding the 80% add-back provisions that Minnesota has been consistent with now for a number of years. And I'm thinking of businesses that are relatively highly capital intensive, where they are now running two sets of depreciation schedules, one for Minnesota and one for the federal government. But since we have done this now for a number of years, might it almost not be easier just to continue with this change? And actually, some people, some businesses are actually moving away from taking all of the depreciation in the first year and spreading it out over 5 years, because you get it all. It's just spread out over 5 years, kind of as a management issue. Has anybody been contemplating that in your work experience, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Mr. Chair, I have no one in my entire client base that makes a decision on how they're going to depreciate something based upon Minnesota tax issues. The decisions are based on the federal issues because the federal rate is higher. It's the majority of their tax, be it not only is the rate higher generally, I mean, they're excluding credits. The rate is higher, and also you have to look at self-employment tax, which most business taxes actually impact people because most businesses are flow through to people. Yes, we have been addressing this issue over this six-year schedule, the add back. It may, if you're looking to deal with issues, there is a separate add back schedules that everyone keeps track of on these policies, but it's not really a separate depreciation schedule per se. Where the differences and the nuances come in if you terminate your business, if you sell a piece of equipment, then actually those deductions are potentially delayed for Minnesota versus accelerated. So it's a little more, in a way, complex the way we're doing it. It's simple if we were only going to do it for a few years, and originally we were hoping it was only going to be for a few years. And now that it has gotten to the point that is, now we're looking at decades versus years due to circumstances, not judging. It almost might be easier if Minnesota had its own separate depreciation schedule than the separate add-back provision. There's only a couple states that have this separate add-back schedule as a side. I think Nebraska has it, if I remember right. Minnesota has one. Most of the other states, they either say don't use the old depreciation rules versus do this add-back mechanism. And be happy to discuss how that could maybe impact everything going forward, if you would like, sir.
Sure. And because the federal tax liability is so much more than the state tax liability, it just overwhelms what the state is doing, and everybody just makes their decisions based on their federal tax liability. Is that kind of what I heard you say?
Chair, for these decisions, that makes sense. However, there are many people where if they have choices on where to produce their income, that's when the state decisions become much larger. And I don't want this to become a non-resident discussion, but those, when you have choices on where to produce the same income on a federal basis, then the state issues become larger. When you're making a decision to take deductions on your federal return, you generally do not worry about what the states are because it's so much smaller. Hopefully that helps.
It does. Thank you. Anything else, members? Senator Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't need an extensive answer here, but I do have a question about it. It's on page 2 of the summary sheet, the sixth bullet, where it talks about a deduction for energy-efficient commercial building property placed in service in 2014. And so my question is, you know, we can debate whether that's a good idea or not, but if it's a good idea, it seems to me it's limited to 2014. Why wouldn't we, if we believe in that incentive, why wouldn't we just open it up going forward? Or it is limited to a building built in 2014, is that correct? I guess that would be the first question.
Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, the federal provision was only for tax year 2014, so we can only conform to the extent that the federal government conformed for that year.
Okay.
And it's buildings placed in service during the tax year.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, members? Seeing nobody else wishing to testify, no more questions. Senator Restrey, news or motion? Senate file 50, be recommended pass and referred to the Senate floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Bill's passed. Thank you, members. Senators, we also have one other bill today. It is a clarifying bill from work that was done last year. And I think for this, I will turn.
Is Senate file 51, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And Senate file 51 is a clarifying bill that deals with the working family tax credit increase that was done in last year's tax bill. And there is not certainty about whether that should have been general fund dollars or not. In 2000, there was an expansion of the working family credit that had the TANF funds pay for the credit expansion. But in the tax bill last year, we scored the working family tax credit out of the general fund. The intent was to pay for it out of the general fund. And this bill clarifies that those costs would not be coming out of TANF. It was done in the 2000 legislative session, but would be out of the general fund as we intended. And that's the gist of Senate File 51. I think it is quite technical, but it is to clarify the intent of what the legislative action was last year.
Questions or comments, and then we'll ask for any testimony. Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Skoy, would this at all change the amount that people receive through the TANF program?
Senator Skoy.
Madam Chair and Senator Eaton, no, this will not change it at all. It's just who's paying for it. And so this is coming out of general fund as opposed to the Health and Human Services TANF division, their budget.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Chair Rest. Thank you, Senator Skoy, for bringing this. I had this bill last year, and I just want to remind people that this was evenly split. The people who qualified this and filed to use this program was evenly split. About 50% came from the metro and 50% came from rural. So this is something that the entire state uses and actually helps our working families across the state. So thank you.
Any other comments from members or questions? Is there anyone who wishes to testify on this bill, Senate File 51? Seeing none, Senator Skoy moves that Senate File 51 be recommended to pass and sent to the Senate floor. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and Senate File 51 is recommended to pass and sent to the Senate floor. Senator Skoy, is there further business before the committee?
No.
Madam Chair.
Senator Reinert.
Madam Chair, just before we adjourn, while I now have a district that does not have a single tillable acre, I wanted to say hello to the FFA members that were that are here. Once upon a time, I was the state FFA vice president. So
always brag.
Life takes us in different directions, but welcome. It's good to see the blue and gold.
Thank you, Senator Reinert, for acknowledging our guests today.
Yes, members,
and
say hello
do
to the
indeed
blue jackets.
Welcome them. I will remind members before we adjourned that division will be meeting on Thursday. There is an agenda that has been sent out. We will be meeting at 9 a.m. There are no plans for a full committee meeting next week at this time, but we will be meeting on the week of January 26th. So, and also January 19th, Martin Luther King holiday, we wouldn't be meeting anyway. So no full tax committee meetings next week. We'll meet again in the full committee on 26th, and stay tuned for when the division will meet. but we definitely will be meeting on this Thursday at 9 a.m. There being no further business before the committee, we stand adjourned.